from our dusty cellars, thinking that bed seems like as good a place as any to be ridden. It's the Fine Ale Countdown. Right. I'm Anas Cronin, joining us this week as always. He has released an album of covers of popular music replacing instances of the word baby with the word infant. Jack Toner.
Hit me, infant, one more time.
He vandalized a copy of Lord of the Rings from his local library, crossing out all instances of the word dwarves and replacing it with the word shorties. James Belfast.
My shorty axe.
Yeah. All the elves fighting with those shorties, you know, in the mines of Moria, makes it sound way more like a nightclub. And he started an ecology magazine, replacing all mentions of bees with the term fly honeys. Gavin Carver.
Why are they not just called that?
Why is that just not their name? I could not agree. Could not agree more. Prior to getting to anything on the agenda, we do, of course, have the, I guess, weekly nut signal again. he sent us a complete and concise history of DDH.
I imagine it is only one of those things, Manus. I imagine it is complete and lengthy.
I genuinely isn't. He's nothing if not a stickler for accuracy, this nut. And if we're to believe at Total Curtis on Twitter, the original meaning was used by brewers who were brewing versions of existing beers that featured double the dry hop charge. So 12 grams per liter. A 12 gram per liter recipe would be 24 grams per liter. I think that's what G/O stands for. Unless it's a Spartan cocktail, gin and laconic, which I suppose it could be. Sadly, could be. The term was never properly defined and it now means whatever the fuck the brewery is using it wants to. So,
as is, of course, tradition.
As is tradition.
And King Bob 3 chimed in. Speaking of things that were not popular enough for people to get your references of, I have many NPT nuggets floating around like so much poo in a cup of milk.
Oh, yeah. There was a time when we talked about that for far too long. And I don't mean in minutes.
For ages.
Yeah, we sat in the room after many hours of thought, decided, yes, that's a good thing to repeat on stage 30 nights in a row in front of strangers.
20 takes, and that was the best one. The jokes like that are usually a result of us basically having somewhere we wanted to start, having somewhere we wanted to get to, and then just not wanting to do any more work. So that any idea is just like, oh, those are words. Yeah. Stick them in there, and then we'll get to something that we'll hope will make up for it later.
Well, I think the interesting choice is when we thought, yeah, this could be a 3-part sketch.
Oh yeah.
That's really Jack Tonering an idea. It's like, okay, it's already pretty weak. What if we make it more complicated and difficult?
Oh, yeah. Oh no, but Jack, we did actually write it and put it on stage. So I don't think it in any way resembles Jack Tonering stuff.
Oh!
The only things I actually do finish are things that end up on stage.
Like we should have Jack Tonered many things that we've done in our life. It's not all.
Imagine how much credit we'd get if we never went to the Fringe Festival.
I mean...
Certainly, you know, the ratio of work to credit would have been higher.
Well, see, what you'd have to do is show people our level of talent and then go, and these people had the good sense to not put any of it on stage. Because otherwise, you just think, well, you know, you missed 100% of the shots you don't take. Maybe you should have tried. And no, as it turns out, you shouldn't.
Yeah, because that implies that missing a shot is risk-free.
Exactly.
It is. That's not always the case.
No. And yeah, you don't. That's just 100% incorrect, that phrase, and not particularly helpful, isn't it? I mean, we should retire that.
I don't know. I feel like it's useful if shit.
If shit. Is there something you can replace it with?
Yeah, because it's like... metaphorically true while being literally false.
Yes, we'll come back to it.
Yeah, I mean...
We'll come back to it. Like, hey, bat signal, we're calling this one early.
everyone who's got a better one, then you miss all 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, exactly. There's got to, there's lots of better ones. There must be. In any case, with all that house
cleaning, you continue to use all of the metaphors you don't actively try to replace with better ones.
Yeah, that's perfect. Gavin, that'll do. We had somewhere we wanted to get to. Those are words. That's fine. Let's see if we can rent a hall or something, put it on stage. It's perfect. We have something of an agenda. Gavin got into a bit of trouble in his car.
Bit of trouble with the law.
With the law, man. Fought the law. And it was a close cut thing. But the law. The law won.
Law won.
You know what I mean? That's what the world needed, was Colin Farrell singing that song.
Wait, when did he sing that song?
It was on the soundtrack for the film Intermission, I'm fairly sure.
Oh, it was.
Brilliant.
Yeah, Jesus.
Actually, if it's not too late. No, we could save it for potentially next week. I do have a question for the group. That's around Irish films. We can come back to it if we have time. Otherwise, next week, be great.
All right.
We'll see where we are. Gavin is fairly boiling with fury. Before we get to find out why, we have some beers to talk about. What are they?
This is Trouble Brewing Go-Go New England Pale Ale. A very good looking can, I will say. And a New England Pale Ale, not a New England IPA. So set your phasers to ready for a pale ale, not expecting an IPA. And still, I fooled myself. By talking about IPAs, I expected one, and it's not that at all. It's fine, I think. Hoppy, bitter. I don't know that there's a huge amount to this in terms of, like, I don't know, when you look at the can, and I'm going to show you guys on camera, it's kind of pink, vibrant, a bunch of like Saved by the Bell shapes, like just hanging out. It's like really nice. And you're expecting something kind of juicy, maybe tropical, maybe, you know, I don't know, a little bit kind of tart or something, but like it's just fine. James?
Yeah, no, I agree. There's sort of a fair bit of sort of hoppy bitterness to it, and that's about it. Yeah, there's no other flavour going on here, really. Fine. Yeah. It's a fine ale.
On second tasting, I'm getting maybe a bit of kind of let's call a stone fruit a stone fruit. I'm getting the stone fruit.
He's calling stone fruit, folks. He's calling it.
Maybe a bit of that, but like again, there's kind of almost like the bitterness almost goes to acrid, I would say.
The number of words you're using, Gavin, is brilliant.
None of them are right, though. Like, you want to use one correct word as opposed to 50.
Your blinding fury has made you loquacious.
I think that this is fruitier than I initially gave it credit for, but also not as good as I initially gave it credit for.
When you said stone fruit, Gavin, did you mean a rock? You're not supposed to eat those.
It tastes like rocks. It tastes like a bag of rocks.
Like, you can criticize everything, something for tasting like rocks, except if it's a rock, because you're not supposed to eat rocks.
And frankly, the rock nailed it in that example.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was exactly what it was supposed to taste like.
Yeah. I'm with Jack on this one, Gavin. I'm loath to say it normally, but he's just 100%. He's just 100% right.
And I'm loath to hear it, right. Manus, frankly, because it means it's only downhill from here for the rest of the episode.
Oh yeah, which, depending on whether you're on a bicycle or not, could be a good thing.
That's very true.
While we're onto phrases that aren't correct at all, like subpar,
below average, yeah,
but like
it's all downhill. Yeah.
But like the only thing you'd ever say subpar about would be golf, where subpar is good.
Yeah.
That is the most popular par.
But when do you ever like, oh, that's a bit below par, isn't it? So good?
So good? Yeah.
God, my golf playing is really subpar. So you're doing well? No, I'm far above par.
Yeah, right.
What? Fuck you.
Yeah. How's the soup? Par. It's par.
I'm pretty squarely whelmed by this par soup. Did you say you're having parsnip snoop? No, that would be exceptional.
The well-known phrase, par.
Par. It's par.
It's used everywhere. It's used everywhere.
People use subpar, but they don't use extra par.
Extra
for things
par.
That are better than par.
This is super par, I'm going to say.
I mean, we should be starting to use other golf terms for other things. Like when something is really good, it should be eagle. But that's probably more to do with the rock band The Eagles or just Eagles.
Manus, that is just a birdie idea right there.
It's absolutely albatross work, lads. I mean, you'd rightly be laughed out of a meeting for talking like that, but it's way more accurate than saying subpar when you mean bad, right?
I think words mean what they feel. I think words mean what we hear them to mean. Therefore, there's no such thing as wrong.
It's all just sounds, baby.
It's all just parts.
I do enjoy a good postmodern take as much as the next man. And if I've used the phrase postmodern accurately there, that is an accident because I do not know what it means.
Oh, Manus, I don't know about that. Your knowledge of postmodernism is very subpar.
You know what is subpar? The phrase postmodern. Because modern is now, postmodern is in the future. So surely it's postmodernism and futurism have to be the same thing.
Weirdly, no, but for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
I understand them all, but cannot go into any of them now, so there will be no further questions.
Absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. I'm drawn to a message I got from a friend of the show and former brewer at the brewery that we're sampling this evening, Dave Guilfoyle. He said that he started on episode 174 in September and he's now caught up, so Thomas can go and fuck.
Wow.
Whoa! Holy moly!
And have you had any intrusive thoughts in that time?
Listened to the show before.
Yeah, and then he just stopped. He got up to like 174 and then he stopped.
And then he fucking bit the pillow and rod
went in dry.
The podcast for the year.
Yeah, he does say, as promised, at least half of it is shite. And the reason I was reminded of that was because our discussion just there about subpar and postmodern. I mean, that's enjoyable for us, but why would anyone else want to hear that?
Frankly, if he thinks we're batting 500, I'll take that action.
Yeah, at least half of it is shite. I'm like 400. I would take like
a passing grade.
I would take 20% of this being listenable.
I reckon it's worse or better to binge listen to it because, like, does the goodness? Does the bad stuff kind of clip along because you sort of go like, oh well, I'll just listen to the next one and whatever.
I don't know. Is it like if you had to eat one log of shite and a sliced pan, would you spread it over 10 sandwiches? Or would you? Or would you eat one really shitty sandwich and then nine 18 slices of bread?
I mean, it's a big question, right?
There it is, Gav, the smartest thing you'll ever say.
I wish I could have got that out without crying, laughing at my own.
So, I don't know, listener, why don't you tell us? Would you rather eat the log of shit? I mean, because you can't not, now you're just picturing it, you know, thinking about the logistics of everything. Was there any further thoughts on that beer? I don't think we got very far on it, apart from that it's just kind of fine.
It's, yeah, it's subpar in the incorrect way.
subpar but growing on me, I would say. Mm-hmm.
Like Rory McIlroy on like the third day of a tournament when he's already out of contention but manages to finish, you know, in a respectable sixth place or something.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, if it wasn't for that one really shitty round I had on the first day, I would have won this thing.
That's what people come here for. Golf.
golf.
Because if you thought we knew nothing about beer, golf.
I'm such a big golf fan. I had dinner at a table beside Shane Lowry last week and didn't notice until he was gone and the waitress told us.
Who did you think ate the second half of your dinner when you turned around? He had a straw for sucking up the Guinness head. Most people leave a lot of that in the bottom of their glass, but not Shane.
There was a special straw that he brought himself.
Yeah, he brought his supping straw. A lot of the out-of-work board Nomona workers who live near Shane in Offaly have gone into making those and selling them on Etsy.
Ah, right.
That's good for the community. That's good for the local community.
Exactly. Yeah, creating jobs. That's what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. The job creator, if nothing else.
We buried the lead long enough.
Is it time to launch into Gavin's incandescent fury?
I'm in the mood for a tirade.
Yeah, guys, this beer and chats has really fucking mellowed the fury. I was bulling when I came on, and I was bulling earlier today. Because, gentlemen, listeners at home, so lady and gentlemen, I was clamped earlier. I was clamped. So I went for my lunchtime run, came back, bam, the clamp was there. Did I have a ticket on the car? Yes, I did. Did I fill out the thing correctly? Yes, I did. Did I pull the visitor parking permit, which you scratch off, out of a very cluttered drawer and therefore scratch a few of the other months?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. So this person came by, saw a fully scratched out December, as well as like a slightly scratched July, August, September and October, and must have thought, this guy's gotten away with it for too long. He's just been like lightly scratching things, and now he's really gone for it in December. I'm going to do him. And he fucking did me.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I got done, and it was outside my own flat in my house, where my children sleep and my wife plays with her toys, you know?
That's harsh.
It just fucking...
It's rough stuff.
And the DSPS online service, terrible. Their phone service, terrible.
Are you trying to say that the clamping people aren't all about customer service? Gav is so incandescent with rage.
They're not customer service. When he was unclamping my car... lovely, and seemed to hate I don't know his name, thank God, because he seemed to hate DSPS, and he's like, yeah, listen, these fuckers aren't going to give you your money back. He's like, these guys aren't going to give you your money back.
What was the damage?
So you're going to have to put an appeal in with them, right? Then you're going to need to escalate it to the council, and then you're going to have to go to someone else. It's going to be a nightmare, but go for it.
Wow.
That's, wow. That's annoying. Now, I sort of see what they're thinking in one sense, because it's like, okay, what you would do to try and pull a fast one is to deliberately do what you did and then come back and complain later and get and say blah, 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 blah. So that's why they're hard and fast with it. But the fact that they're hard and fast with it means that you'd never do what you did deliberately. So,
yes,
I mean, you know.
You know.
Yeah, I've been... Get fucked, yeah. Like, you know, I noticed when this came out that it was pretty scratched up, and I was like, fuck, should I still use this? And then I was like, they're reasonable people, they'll see what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Like, James, you sent a photo of a very, I'd actually say your one was worse,
there's
even less scratched off it,
yeah. I'd like. This was from a few years ago, but I managed to find the old photo I sent it for my appeal. I basically been scratching out the day, and I slightly went over into the previous day and sort of took off a small sliver of the silver covering. And so it was very clear. It was the 8th of the month, and the 8th was fully, completely scratched out. And then it was like 5-10% of the 7th was also scratched out. And they were like, oh, this is unclear. You know, you could be trying to cheat us. So we're going to clamp you. And then the appeal went exactly the same way.
They told you to fuck off. seems to me, I didn't know that's how those parking permits worked. That seems, it's only designed that way for that to happen.
Like, to catch you out. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Like, in what way is like a scratch-off system the best?
I've actually never had to use the scratchy system before. Like, if you have a permit to park on your own street, do you have to do a scratchy boy every day?
No. I don't have a permit.
These are guest permits.
Guest permits.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And how much did today cost you, Gavin?
Cost me 80 quid. Mm. And Jack, I mean, in one way, it is the money. But in many ways, it's not about the money.
It's not about the money, Gavin.
You know, like 80 quid, I'll be annoyed about. And in December, you know, when you're buying Christmas presents for people, I'd say everyone is probably like a little lower on cash than they ordinarily would be. You're like, yikes, okay, this, you know, David's not getting his new shoes kind of thing.
Poor little Davey.
Poor little Davey. Yeah, he just got those
new feet as well. Just got those socks.
Wants to try them out, but can't leave the
house. Him anyway for the abdication in the first place. So, you know.
In one way, like 80 quid is a lot to like lose in one day. And I wasn't happy to do it, but whatever. What really fucks you off is that it just messes up your whole day. Mm. Like, I'm in the last week of work before Christmas. I've got work to do. I need to be doing it. Otherwise, like, my January's going to be shit. And did I get anything done this afternoon? Sweet fuck all. Because I was busy, like, writing the Magna Carta to send to DSPS.
It's not... Yeah, you know, the economy has lost more than 80 quid of productivity. Yeah, it's like Google went down today for the first time in maybe ever across the board globally. Think about the damage caused by that. Pales in comparison to you being clamped.
Exactly.
Pales.
Exactly.
One, I mean, man isn't completely hamstrung.
Probably economic benefit from preventing the people in RTE from doing their jobs, though.
But only if it's permanent. Right, the problem is we're still paying them to do nothing.
Yeah, you're
I suppose
right,
then
yeah.
It's just a day.
It's just a day then. Then they call those weekdays.
They call those
weekdays. Yeah, I actually With RTE's recent financial trouble, I actually don't get paid like monthly anymore. I actually need to go around to people's houses and just ask for license fee. I can still,
I mean, it does make sure that the license fees keep coming in.
Yeah.
And it's much easier to pick on the physically weak and infirm and old.
Yes,
big
time.
I mean, I don't make the rules. I don't make the system, but that's...
They wouldn't have designed the system like that if they didn't want you going around doing that. Gavin, you might enjoy, maybe you won't, I don't know, a story from where I work, where there's a private clamping company that will clamp you in the work car park. You've two different IDs put up on your car. It's a pain in the arse. And again, I think only designed to catch you. My friend Sarah is so belligerent and was so unwilling to pay them that she just went absolutely zero contact with the clamping people and left the car there for 2 months with the clamp on it. Until they just, one day she went and looked at it and the clamp was off.
Brilliant. That is the sort of energy that I need.
She definitely spent more than the money on getting public transport for all that time, but it was the principle of the thing. I never thought of it. She said they're losing money every day that clamp isn't on another car.
I've had, this will surprise no one, but I've had multiple wrestling friends pull the same trick. The best of which was noted sex offender and cocaine dealer Alexander Dean, who got clamped.
Libel, slander. We can't call him a cocaine dealer. No, that was a joke.
That's a joke, Alexander Dean. We absolutely can call you a cocaine dealer.
He got clamped just like a couple of days before Christmas, and he was like, "I'm just gonna leave it there, and like either I'll call them at like 5 a.m. Christmas morning, or like some horribly inconvenient time during Christmas out of nothing but spite, or just see what happens." And I imagine, because so many people were doing the first thing, come Christmas Eve, they just took all the clamps off all the cars.
Oh, but like, I presume good. They have a call center anyway. Like,
no, because the
person he's ringing doesn't
on 2 hours' notice.
Doesn't have him have the phone by their bed. You're not ruining their Christmas morning sleep.
Oh yeah, but I imagine there is a like emergency call out, and it's actually only hurting an individual.
Yeah. That like the part.
But he assumes that the company would want to protect the individuals enough that the individuals would just go around, or the individuals would want to protect their own time enough that they'd be like, "I'm not coming out here on Christmas, so I'm just taking this off now."
I has the instinct to get on the phone and give out shit to someone, and like as I was doing it, as I was ringing the bell, I was just like, listen, it's going to be some poor person in a call center who like gets nothing but shit all day from people, so I'm not going to give out yards to him. But I couldn't contain my fury enough, so like my voice was, I was like polite, but my voice was still, yeah, no, just really, really, really disappointed. I'll be honest, really fucking disappointed that like this is parked when there was a visitor parking there. And he's like, yeah, well, it's a pay and appeal process, so you're just going to have to go through that. I was like, fine, I'll go through that. I'll fucking pay the thing. And then I was like, have a good Christmas. In like the angriest way.
Oh, God, I hope someone gave him some medicine after that. Absolute poison you put down the phone.
Yeah, I think wishing someone a Merry Christmas in an angry way is maybe the worst thing you can do. There, yeah. I said it.
People used to weaponize Christmas when something would go wrong with their delivery all the time as well.
Oh, that's horrible. Yeah.
You know, it's like, yeah. Well, you know, I don't really feel sorry for you, because we really think about how much your Christmas is shit. This is my whole day for the next month.
It's always an interesting position to be in, and I feel like you get it with like police or people who work for a clamping company or people who work at like a delivery company like me in Manistate around Christmas time, where the only people you're talking to are having the worst day of their lives.
Yeah.
They're already having a bad day and you're just a part of it, which means that you are part of nothing but bad days. That fucks with you.
Yeah. It's not the same or equivalent, but you feel the same about like the Facebook and Twitter content moderators who their whole day is just viewing either kind of violent, hateful, exploitative shite and having to deal with that and having to go home and be like, how was your day, honey? Well, you know, like saw a couple of beheadings. Like,
yeah, frankly, yeah, that shouldn't be. And again, it's a different thing. But all of those things you mentioned, it's really crap that that's someone's whole job. Like, again, different level of thing. But when in my current job now, not anymore, but when I started it, I used to have to answer the phone and you know take shit from Joe Public, but it was 2 days a week. You know, you're rostered on. There's other things. It's when it's just like every fucking
It's the answer to the shit sandwich.
Yes.
Yeah. There it is. There's the answer. Yeah, you should have spread it out, Dave Guffaw.
And you'll get accused of not caring, and it's like, well, I can't care. I can't care about your problem.
Because if I care about every problem, I will destroy myself.
I'm starting to get the impression you don't even care. I don't know what to tell you, because I don't care. Wouldn't be wise. You don't want me caring, not really, because I'll never fix anything if you reach.
I wouldn't have answered the phone to you if I cared about everybody.
Yeah.
I'd be too busy doing something else.
I clearly don't care about myself. No, I feel both of your furies, and James, yours looks like it was from many years ago, but the fires of the fury.
Oh, yeah.
The 2017. Oh, that's a deep burning, seething hatred.
Yeah, that's a decade long feud there.
Yeah. They, I know we're, like, it is a little bit about the money, but, like, they could take off the clamp for free and you would still, like, it's so annoying when it happens.
Yeah.
Because you only find out as soon as you're about to use the car. You're like, you have the keys in your hand and you're standing there. And what do? You just have to stand there and turn around.
Yeah. And the I wasn't looking to get in the car, which, like, you know, I didn't have anywhere to go, which was great. Like, that's, you know, small mercies. But I have been in a car that's been clamped twice. So that was the second time. And the last time, my friend pulled up, there was a sign that said, like, Monday to Saturday, blah, blah, blah. And it was a Sunday. He pulled up, grand, no problem, yada, yada, yada. And then came back and there was, like, another smaller sign underneath that said something different, but that was the real sign. And it was just incredibly frustrating. So the two times I've been clamped have been, like, honest, genuine mistakes. I used to be in the car with my boss, who would literally, we'll just pull in here into the middle of Temple Bar and stick the hazards on for 2 hours and nothing would happen.
Yeah, that's what chaps my buttocks more than anything, is the the just wanton abandonment of cars in places and just nothing being... Like, there are cars in my locality, people who drive them, and they just, they park, like, on the segregated cycle lane or whatever. Not, like, not that it's okay if you do it for 5 minutes, but that's their parking spot. That's where they go. They seem to live near it. And obviously, they can't police everywhere. I don't know. It seems the worse of a job of parking you do, the less someone has thought to patrol that area.
Yeah, it seems as though, like, wow, this is really, man, this car is really obstructing traffic. They must have been really busy. Anyway, time to go. Time to go punish a minor mistake.
Because I think if it's bad enough, the key is to make your parking bad enough that it's a criminal issue. And then the guards, as a criminal issue, it's so low down the guards list of things.
Yeah.
They're just like, and they've got fucking what's the term when you can, discretion. They can go, fuck it. I'm not dealing with that.
Yeah.
So you just have to park it slightly worse, Gavin, I think, is your what you need to do.
You parked the exact wrong amount.
Yeah. That seems to be what clamping is designed for.
If I had parked in the middle of the road, they definitely wouldn't have clamped us.
No, for
that
sure.
That would have been a problem. That would have been a real problem.
Yeah. It's the parking equivalent of the saying about owing the bank, you know, €1 million versus 100 million or whatever the phrase is. And
yeah.
You
know,
there's an excellent ESPN just on that. There's an excellent ESPN 30 for 30 documentary. Let me get the exact name of it. But it's the premise of it. Is that a guy buys the New York Rangers.
Right, okay.
The Islanders. By just saying he's rich and getting a loan out for the full amount.
What the fuck? Did they, like, where was the due diligence? Or was this like a...
The whole point of the movie, Gavin, is to show that at every step of the way, there was none. It's called Big Shot. It's an ESPN 30 for 30. And he was like, I found it easier to get a loan for $300 million than I would have to get a loan for $3,000 for a car.
Jesus.
I suppose at some level,
one document that was a fake bank account. And he was in this tale that he's like a plant manufacturer, like a machinery person from Texas. And people were like, oh, yes, of course, Texas.
But, like, when did this take place? When was it set?
This would be... Let me get the answer to that question, because it's at a time when, like, you could have figured it out.
Now,
it was, like, the mid-90s.
Everyone take a guess.
Sorry, I should have let you guess.
Enron was like mid 90s, but then like the
Sarbanes-Oxley was early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, like the 90s is the latest you could have gotten away with that. So.
Yeah,
this was 1996. And it's so great. I don't want to give away the ending because it's going to be some great, like, they're really difficult to get your hands on the 30 for 30 series, particularly.
Yeah, it is.
I like shut up and take my money. Like, I've tried to buy the series, I would have paid like, I'd have paid like $100 for the whole series, and they just will not sell it.
Oh yeah, there's stuff like that, and a lot of it is American stuff that's just, they haven't thought that someone else might want to buy it, so there's no way to do it.
There's no way
yeah,
to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure, you can get it. You just need to live in Cleveland and buy a $2,000, $200 a month package. Then
yeah, well, like, it comes with your cable TV subscription.
Yeah, that's great.
That's brilliant. Thanks for that information.
But that documentary stumbled upon, well, it found, and it's something that I've always kind of thought, and yet when I say it out loud, it's stupid, and yet I still feel it, so it's probably very stupid. At a certain level, you get to a certain point of money where that money doesn't exist. Like, if you have $1 billion, yeah, you basically, like, that doesn't exist. You don't really have that. If you tried to take it at any one point, you couldn't get it from anywhere. You might as well have five. You might as well have one. It doesn't. It's. I don't even know what I'm trying to say. It's no, like when
the region's
like a couple of billion wiped off the stock market in a day, and you think, oh, that's terrible, and then you think, well, hang on a second. In what there's no more or less stuff in existence now than there was.
There's actually more stuff. Because there's never less.
Yeah.
Unless there's an enormous explosion at the stuff factory. And that does happen. Those days do exist.
Yeah.
But unless there's an explosion at the stuff factory, there's more stuff every day.
But are those billions that are wiped off a stock market in a day or added to the stock market in a day is just... I think, like, my thinking around that is it's a testament to the fact that the world is now... is so infinitely complicated that we actually don't know how much stuff there is out there. And the stock market and every equivalent is just like someone's fucking guess.
It's the guess market.
So what actually happened is we improperly evaluated the amount of stuff that was there, and then we found out we were wrong.
Found out we were wrong, but then like guessed a different number, which is also probably wrong, and the number like is constantly changing because.
But
like,
it's a new one day more informed version of wrong.
And the smart people know this stuff, right? They're not dumb. The smart people are still smart. So I think that's why at like the top, like high up big money levels, they're like, they kind of know it's not all bullshit. It is all based on something, but
it's just not based on much.
It's based on something. And you know, the stock, not just the stock market, but everything is just like a guess of what is out there. But like, there's also like confidence men in like very high positions who just like go, oh yeah, this is worth fucking tons.
Have you ever seen this thing that I now own
is fucking awesome.
have you ever seen an IPO roadshow? Like what those are? So when a company's about to go public, they'll do what's called a roadshow. And that is exactly what it says in the tin. They will travel all over America. And they will do like corporate events talking about how great the company is. WeWork, I think, was the example that brought this to me last year. And I'd known the concept, but it was just like the roadshow was going poorly. And that was the first indicator that all of this was going to come crashing down, that they were going out there and they were being like, it's the future of work. And the people at the show were like, yeah, what if it's not though?
Yeah.
And literally they're out there just like literally like snake oil salesman dragging the carriage around the world being like, trust me, this stock is going to be worth loads and you should buy it the day it comes out. And then they just leave town and hope the people buy it the day it comes out to bump up the price.
And if enough of them did, then it would be worth loads.
Because, the wisdom of crowds.
And at a certain point, at certain levels of money as well, like if I'm a multi-billionaire and I'm financing you for 500 million. I'm not giving you anything really except a sticker that you can wear that goes, this person has 500 million and now treat them as such and they may go about their business in such a way that that is in effect true. I haven't...
Now what they may have is 500 million worth of stuff. Like a really nice house or a boat or some shit.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is get paid in boats.
Now we're talking. Now we're getting to it.
I'll take. Could you turn that? cool 100 mil into 1.5 boats, I'm sure it'll be worth the same.
Are there is a boat, is that about the worst thing you could
you could have.
Yeah, I can't imagine a world in which boats hold their value.
I don't know what the standard depreciation rate for a boat is, but I'm going to guess it's a lot.
James, yeah. You're
it's
the
not
one
even
person
depreciation
who can
alone,
answer that
right?
Question.
It's the fact that like it's costing you every day you have it. Like it's not
it's
even
fully
just...
staffed. And look, even if you wanted to sell it, the cum cleaning bill alone would be through
you would
the
have
roof.
To be cleaning the cum off your boat. Yeah.
Oh God, the scraping crew would be a dozen strong.
You would scrape. You would go for scraping as
but
opposed
you scrape
to
first,
you wouldn't blot.
Yeah, it's either scraping or brushing. And
I think
the way I do it, it's going to be scrapes.
It's going to be scraping. Yeah,
those cum brushes though, they're while it is archaic technology, when all you have is a cum brush, they get really good at it. It's like watching a pre-industrial farmer use a scythe. They're remarkable.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, it's still worse than a combine harvester, but it's way better than you think it would be, you know?
What the fuck? This isn't sandwich. This is dirt.
But you will not get this anywhere else. This is the only place for it.
Truly unique experience.
This is unique, yeah.
So if you're enjoying this, nothing else will do.
It's like the unsatiable hunger for human flesh. Once you've listened to the final countdown, nothing else will satisfy that itch.
Like, I don't think if you... And there's so many podcasts out there that this wouldn't be possible, even for a machine. So don't get us just have Gavin try to do it, old machine though he certainly is. I don't think anyone ever said those words in that order before. Cum brushers. It is an archaic technology, but watching them work is like watching a pre-industrial farmer use a scythe. I don't believe that those words were said in that order anywhere else in the cast before.
And unless we say it again, we'll never be said again.
You know what? You're right. Let's stop.
We've reached. This is it, guys. We didn't know it was the peak until we were there.
Yeah. We can actually wrap up the show at this point. 250 something episodes, and we finally said a brand new sentence that we're pretty confident in.
I guess probably someone did say it before somewhere, but Jesus,
some sort of fear dream or something.
I think it's thrown in enough adjectives.
It wasn't a joke. Oh my God. This is like a pre-industrial farmer using a scythe.
It's an archaic technology, but looking at a because there's like, no, here's why it's unique, because there's no overlap in the people that would be observing a cum brusher in real life. Because a cum brusher doesn't exist.
Which, by the way, unless I'm mistaken, doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist. It would be a mop, if anything. I'm almost finished the deuce, and there's a lot of cum moppers in there. Not a brush in sight. Would be in a situation.
Because a brush just like moves it around.
Exactly. What's it going to do? It's going to get caught up all in it like it would in pubes.
It's quite like curling, actually. It's more of a,
To help it get that extra little.
You're
bit
giving
of
it extra slickness. Yeah. It's because some comb does end up on ice because those icebreaker boats they're still boats, you know.
They're still boats, still covering.
Yeah, Spotify actually keeps sending me notifications saying that we should set a trailer for the podcast. I think our trailer should be a discussion about the merits of sweeping cum.
And frankly, James,
it would accurately show you what to expect. We certainly couldn't be done for false advertising.
Yeah, and frankly, I think it would be a very short trailer because I don't think there are any merits to sweeping cum.
It's like when we flyered in our underpants on the Royal Mile. I mean, self-selecting. If you take a flyer from someone who's in their underpants, then go to the show, it's like, well, this is just silly, childish nonsense. What did you expect?
What did you think?
You're right. We did give you exactly what you paid for.
Actually, it rather did work for that because, like, our audience, while as a percentage of people who go to comedy, it was small, they liked it because it was exactly what, like, I don't know if it was a good or a bad marketing strategy, but it was exactly what you think it's going to be when you do that.
And if you average it out on any given night, every member of our audience, on average, had one cap for the England football team.
James, there it is.
Yeah. It's true. How many caps did Paul Robinson have then? You have like 40?
I feel like more than that.
Not to do Paul dirty, but 40 is way too many for Paul Robinson.
Paul Robinson shouldn't have 5, really.
Hey, guys, he supported you.
Yeah. He left halfway through the show. Told his girlfriend he was going for a piss and left.
Yeah, he left his fucking money behind as well.
I'm fairly sure he was friends with Daryl. I don't think he paid.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, he had 41 caps.
Fuck off. Sorry, he has seen us and decided that we're shit at comedy. I can objectively say Paul Robinson is shit at football.
Yeah. Thank God you're not an objective game, Gavin.
Because those 41 caps as well, he's a goalkeeper. That's 41 games. He didn't just piddle on for 2 or 3 minutes here and there. Yeah,
That's true.
He fell between the David Seaman and the Joe Hart years, did he? Was that how he got in?
Basically, yeah, there's no one else.
I've fallen between Seaman and Hart on more than one occasion, let me tell you.
And when you did, Jack, how did you get cleaned up afterwards? Was it a brush?
It was a mop, because no one brushes that shit. That cum, sorry. I mean, maybe every now and then, but that's not the plan.
It's remarkable. It's like watching a Korean military man eat noodles very quickly. It's just you'll really marvel. You can Google that. You can Google Korean military noodle eating. I think they do it at record speeds.
Really? Oh, fine.
Or God, someone this is just risky, said that and I risky believed them without ever checking. I can't remember.
There's just too much information these days, and I'm giving out as much as I'm taking in, and I'm not really processing any of it.
Yeah, so I'm doing a deep dive into Paul Robinson, seeing what he's up to these days.
Is he still with the bird that he abandoned in our?
I don't think that was true the next day.
He provides a lot of comments on football. He's also given his in association with horseracing.net produced his tips for the 2021 Cheltenham Festival, which I think is an article we can all get behind. And
I might have made this up completely. There is a video of Korea and US Marines eating ramen together, but like I can't find any like him really like Korean guys rapidly eating noodles. These are just eating them at a normal.
Yeah, I think you've gone and made this up, Manus.
It's such a weird thing to have dreamt up.
But like maybe it's just the specificity of it. It's the military word in there.
Yeah.
Army guys could eat with a speed unbeknownst to us mere civs.
I can't remember where. I think I might have read it in an article about the Korean footballer who plays for Spurs, Son
Yong-ho. Oh, yeah.
I think it was like one of those. In fact, so it's definitely not true. They just made it up because they just wanted, because journalism's crap now and I'm worse for believing it. It was like, what you will expect in a military day in South Korea? And one of them was like, and he'll have a very brief lunch break in which he'll have to eat noodles like with the famous speed of Korean military. Now that I think of it, this might have been really quite racist.
Very racist.
Like, yeah. I just assumed it was based on like, oh well, obviously they're famous for this, but it would seem that both the person who wrote the article and me, by extension, just they're like, oh yes, they'll probably eat noodles really quickly because they're Korean.
This reminds me of something that I'm not proud of, so I'm going to say in public on this podcast, which is broadcast, is I was told as a child, maybe an early teen, that the reason that a lot of black people can't swim is because their bones are heavier than white people.
And yeah, they told me that in school too.
24 years old. And then I said it to someone and they were like, no, that's not true, and really fucking racist. And I was like, yeah, It is. And I'm sorry.
They told me that in school as well. They said that's why I'm like, because it had enough truth.
In school.
That's my biology teacher who I now won't name because I'm. Told me that, and like, why would like on one side, like because it was something about it observable was true. You don't see many black swimmers. Now I didn't think at the time. Well, of course, they just don't have access to swimming pools. Maybe they just don't want to swim. Maybe there's like, you know, a million reasons other than that they have dense bones.
Yeah, it's so fucking it's such a weird lie to make up. Like, where did the lie come from? Did the lie come from like I don't know, some racist scientists, or
I think the lie came from a lazy analyst.
Yeah.
Someone was like, looking at the sprinting, looking at the swimming, is like, okay, where's all the black guys in the swimming? You figure it out. We're gonna do a piece to camera about this next week, and the guy just didn't. And they're like, okay, what's your research found? Heavier bones.
Tense bones. Like, I guess if it was true, the world would look like that. But it...
Yeah. But it's a simple explanation for a complex problem.
Well, they could have... It could have been... it's fine as a hypothesis.
Yeah.
But, because you can test that and then find out that it's not true. And then, you know... Or, like, okay, this probably didn't happen, but here's a way you could have come about this belief non-racistly.
I am so excited to see where
on tether hooks.
So let's imagine that they were trying to correct for in some sort of bias in a study, so that they wanted to still compare Olympic athletes, so they compared like swimmers and sprinters, and like and it may be inherently something about training for sprinting densens up your bones in a way that swimming doesn't.
It does because it's high impact.
So they tested the sprinters. The sprinters happened to be black. The swimmers happened to be white. And so they instead of taking from that, sprinters might have denser bones. They took from it.
Manus, while I appreciate the correlation is true and the causation is bullshit, I think it's more fun that James has hung over intern story.
and the fact is he's probably right, because people were just happy for an explanation. It was like, do.
Like, also alternatively, the research probably included someone like Michael Phelps, who's just such a genetic freak anyway. He skewed the results. He probably has like hollow bones like a bird. Somehow helped with buoyancy.
Floats on top of the water as he swims.
And he's like, well, that is what all white people are like.
Yeah.
If you judged all white people on swimmers, we'd all have like size 17 feet. And
I also like James' hypothesis because it's something that it was like a comedy rule for a while, but I'm starting to think more and more it's reality, which is never attribute to malevolence what you could otherwise attribute to stupidity. And like, the more I live my life, the more I'm like, oh yeah, no, they weren't actively out to get me. They're just a fucking idiot.
Just a great big dumbass.
Yeah.
Like, I think the bone density thing was, it is, of course, it's dumb when you think about it, but it's like, it has enough smart sounding words in it if you say it right.
Yes. Yeah. It sounded scientific. And that was like so insidious.
Mm. And it's just the right level of scientific that it's untestable by common people. Like it's not it's not like common observably true. Like you can't do an easy experiment to prove that at home or disprove it.
Like, you know, I just trust that, like, you know, vaccines work and all of the rest. I just trust that, like, that's not something that I have the tools or intelligence to, like, go out and find out for myself. You know, think for yourself, sheeple. So I just, like, trust that, like, you know, the medical profession and all, you know, oversight of said profession is right, you know? And it's the same for this. Is like, I'm not going to go out and like measure the bone density of a bunch of black and white people and just like find out for myself.
It would be a tremendously huge waste of your time to do that, in fact. It's why it's so insidious when like regulatory bodies and stuff like that, when they are captured by, it's usually money. I suppose it can be ideology as well, but it's a capitalist world. It's usually money. Because we have to trust, we can't do it ourselves.
We have to trust something. So it might as well be that black people have heavy bones and are therefore bad at swimming, when in reality, the truth is, black people would probably be much better at swimming, so we should be glad that there's something left.
Well, Jeff, sorry, I don't support the Olympics based on the race of the athletes. If there's not an Irish athlete in there, I'm not like, oh, I really hope the Poles win.
Come on, the lady.
No, I think
Jesus Christ. Jeff.
Well, you're ignoring a third of our flag, fellas. I think you're really missing a trick here.
You can see it now, Paris 2024 Summer Olympics. The whites need this one.
I'll watch Dave Chappelle's The Racial Draft. We all know. Yeah, it would have been great to get Tiger Woods. Would have been great to get him for the Asians.
Also, I'd like to bring up the two competing hypotheses of black people have heavier bones and yet white men can't jump. Explain.
Explain that.
True. Interesting. Yeah. Well, heavy bones obviously lead to explosive strength. You know, that fast twitch muscle fiber.
I think what's also fair is that Olympic athletes of any color or creed are way more similar to each other than they are to any other members of their own. Like we are way more different from a white Olympic athlete than a black
Civilian black person.
Like yes, Olympic athletes, at least in popular sports, are a different species. Like
I think I'm about the same as one of those guys who does trap shooting.
You might be. You're probably the same species.
I mean, at running maybe, yeah.
I mean,
textbook James really defending the honor of trap shooting.
Honestly, the sport shot itself in the foot when it stopped shooting live birds.
Like, Usain Bolt is so much faster than me that, like, you wouldn't think the two creatures that have a top speed that is as different. If that was the measure, you'd be like, oh, they're different animals. They're not the same.
If you just looked at it, like, on paper, it was like, you know, cheetah, gazelle, you say manus, they'd be like, oh, those are four different animals.
Four different animals. There's no, they can't, you know.
Is it a fast dog or is it a slow zebra? Who knows?
Do you know what I like? Olympic, like, I don't know what my question is, but I just kind of want to talk about the Olympics being a real fuck fest.
Oh yeah, it is fuck mountain up in there. They go through six figure numbers of condoms and
yeah,
that's wild.
It is wild. And
it's
like,
a bunch of genetic.
You can rate the horniness of the Olympic. You can rate the horniness of the city based on how many condoms they give each athlete.
Yeah, but you know what? Look, what did we expect? You have a bunch of genetically perfect people who have all been training, who have had no lives for multiple years, and now they've reached what might be the pinnacle of their life. What's next? You're surrounded by other genetically perfect people looking to blow off some steam.
You kind of feel sorry for the people in the main event in that. Like, you know, I think the 100 meter sprint is definitely like
one of the last events. Yeah. The water polo players, they're in and done in the first couple of days, and they are leading the charge by all accounts.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, you need to save your strength and virility, you know, not one of these arcane fucking no-nut November weirdos, but like
but you don't want to be hungover in the Olympics.
You don't want to be hungover, and you don't want to like get a bad night's sleep when your event is in 3 days.
Like Rio 2016 was actually incredible. They provided 350,000 condoms, 100,000 female condoms, and 175,000 packets of lubricant. That is that is averages out to 42 condoms per athlete.
I would have thought they'd raw dog more. Now I realize pregnancy would kind of pregnancy would kind of wreck up a little bit of your career. Maybe you want to control that a bit, but like,
man, these are forward thinkers, not you.
You know, I mean,
these people are the pinnacle of discipline.
If I got a chance to catch some Olympic grade cum, and I only get to do it every 4 years. You know.
It amazes me. Just like it's 42 condoms per person, fair play to them.
Yeah. Good for the gang.
40 of those. 40 of those are the dressage geeks having posh wanks, let's be honest. Yeah, we're here with the US Olympic men's basketball team, the Jamaican men's sprinting team, the US women's water polo, and of course, the horse dancers. Now, do you all want to tell us about all of that sex you're having? Horsey boys? Anything? We've been delivering the condoms to your room, but no, none. So I don't think it's a fuck fest. I don't think it's a fuck fest for everyone.
No,
I don't mean to pick on the horse dancer. Well, I do. It's a silly
yeah, like the horse dancers are they? Well, look, they bring the whole event down. But guys, there's some cool shit happening in the next Olympics. Breakdancing is in for the next Olympics.
Breakdancing is in for the next Olympics. Yeah,
better than dressage.
At least it's human dancing. Yeah.
I know. Horse break dancing. I would like to see that. Fuck, I think that would be great.
God, we're going to start our own Olympics.
Yeah. It doesn't even need to be the cool break dancing move. I would love a baby freeze from a horse. Head on the floor, legs in the air.
Yeah. Almost every horse-based sport is better without the people anyway.
Shoujo. Yeah, yeah.
I would love to see the Grand National jockeyless. Let's just see which horse wants it more.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know anything about horse racing, but that's not going to stop us here. Like, they seem happier without the man on them, and why wouldn't you be, you know?
Yeah. Get your boss off your back.
Now, I know part of that problem is the last person you'd want riding you is someone who dedicated their career to dressage. This is the stuff.
What's your problem with dressage?
I don't have any specific problem with dressage other than that it is very silly.
It is like, objectively silly. It's horse ballet.
Like that it comes into the same category of who can run the fastest. And like when you watch, what are you watching? The Olympics. That tells me nothing. You could be watching horse dancing.
It's closer to crufts than it is the discus.
It is closer to crufts. It belongs way more in with crufts. And show jumping does too, Jack. You make a very good point.
Yeah, I didn't say that, but look, I'll defend it.
They're much more at home at crufts. And that's a folk fest too, believe me.
Yeah, there's a lot of raw dogging going on there, let me tell you.
Uncooked doggies.
Slipping them some of that D, and the D stands for dog.
Someone did send me a video of, actually put a video in of a man eating noodles very quickly. He might be Korean, I can't actually tell, but I don't think
it's a man polishing off an entire bowl of noodles and two eggs in what appears to be 9 seconds.
Like, it is
what the fuck. I cannot wait to watch this video.
Yeah, like, speed eating exists, but there is nothing in that video to dedicate that he is a man of service.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't strike me that he's a serviceman. So yeah, that probably doesn't happen. It was probably a racist article that just said, Korean probably eats noodles, and I am a dim bulb.
Look, you got caught off guard.
You got caught off guard. Yeah. You
were Simon Harris on live television or live radio said that there had been 18 other coronaviruses and we hadn't found any vaccines for those. So
he was the second political figure to have said that. And the first one was pilloried for
us. Like, it's not the worst mistake you could ever make. And in fact, I sort of thought that that's what the 19 probably meant. I wasn't thinking it might have been the year 2019. But you know what? When I thought about that, I did Google it and it was like the first thing that comes up. So
I want to see the Google trends for COVID-18.
They're bound to be. There's like...
Yeah, definitely.
I want to see how long it lasted and if it had a resurgence at any point.
So I don't
think COVID-20. I'd say COVID-20 is having a go at the moment.
Like, I'm not going to hang Simon Harris over that, but I do hope that's the only time he's done something like that, because there might be other times when no one notices, because they just go, he's the minister for, he was minister for health, he's some sort of education portfolio at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
He's the minister for, he probably knows that, you know.
Probably
And it's the same level of thinking. He was just like, yeah. And they're very good, like them or hate them. Politicians are usually very good at seeming like they know what they're talking about. Unless you happen to know, unless they're Bertie Ahern, and I think they're trying to not look like what they know what they're talking about. I think a lot of that was him just being like, I sure I couldn't be corrupt. Sure I'm thick.
Okay. So
Boris Johnson gives me real Bertie Ahern vibes, and I'm very happy for England that they're having their Bertie moment.
Mm. Yeah. I'm certain I would say
England as opposed to the UK.
I'm certain I'd get on very well with Boris Johnson. I personally, I've almost no doubt. He seems like he'd be gas. But it's just a very bad reason to vote for anybody.
Completely. Like, I remember Boris Johnson was on, Have I Got News For You? Like, quite often when he was... when he was in the Telegraph. And like, he's funny. He's like, you know,
he's a charming man.
He's a charming man. He plays the buffoon very well, but like does have like a level of intelligence. But no reason to vote for someone because you'd like them.
I exclusively vote for people I wouldn't want to stand near.
But so all your politicians are big farters.
Big, big pumpy boys. Okay, I've got some hot stats for you. The way Google Trends works is it benches it off 100%, which is the maximum volume of search for the most popular term in the terms that you give it to compare. So if you search for COVID-19, COVID-18, and COVID-20, COVID-18 and 20 never surpass the less than 1% threshold. Now, there are months where it certainly goes above zero. So the three categories looking here is zero, less than one, and one or greater. So it never gets greater than one, but it certainly goes above zero. And it goes back down to zero where people forgot that there was no such thing as COVID-18 and 20. And then it comes back again in about, it pops up in March and then it comes back again about August. If people are like, was there a COVID-18 or 20? Now, what you'd usually do in a time like this is bench it against some sort of other reference point, some sort of other, you know, a baseline, a benchmark, if you will. So what I've done is I've put in COVID-18, COVID-20, and Justin Bieber to see how they compare against Canada's most beloved singer who isn't named Michael Bublé. And I've got great news for you, fellas. For the entire month of March, COVID-18 was 3% as popular as Justin Bieber.
For the month of March, now, I would say March... people might have mistyped.
And Bieber's having a particularly slow month.
Yeah, it's the true. August
who could,
spike.
Who could forget
I'd
the dry
month
of March?
Yeah, the August spike I'd be more interested in because, like, you've been hearing COVID-19 for months. If you, like, get it wrong, you know, I think you're more actively looking for COVID-18 or COVID-20 in August than you are in March. Because in March, it's like, is it COVID-19? Is it COVID-18? I don't know.
I hate to break it to you, Gavin, but it only makes a slight comeback in August, and neither 18 nor 20 win. Now, if we were to remove Justin Bieber from the equation, we can see a much more meaningful impact graph about which one is more popular. And COVID-20 doesn't even begin to reach the pinnacles that COVID-18 reached.
COVID-18 hits a high peak in March, I assume.
In March, and you know, at the end of March,
not knowing the name,
it only surpassed. It's not knowing the name, or be like, was there an 18?
One of those Googles is me for sure. I'm fairly sure I googled COVID. I googled something to find it out because I just
one of those is me for 18. One of those is me for 20, and 8 of them are me for Bieber. So you know.
Next week, folks, we will do the same analysis to find out what percentage of people searching for us versus the people searching for the song of a similar name.
Oh, that's going to be so depressing.
Because Google only, like, within the last year started even letting you, like, before it would automatically assume. Now it just thinks you're wrong. Before it assumed you were wrong. It just sent you to the final.
I think that's probably the biggest piece of progress we could possibly have had.
Now it's just fairly sure you're wrong, but it does let you
I think you're going to... I have the results ready to go for next week, and I think you're going to be really excited by them.
Excellent. We are bigger than Europe.
In certain parts of England, that's probably true. Daily Mail readers all prefer us to Europe. Right, we've been at this for ages.
I have one thing to say and one thing to ask, which is another item for next week.
Yeah.
Number one, I played my game of Gloomhaven, the very expensive board game I got. It was fabulous. We could talk about it next week if we want as a potential gift for the episode that will come out on literally Christmas Eve, so maybe not. It's excellent. Hard recommend. Mostly I'm just bragging that a thing I said would happen actually happened. And I know that this has changed all of your opinions about transgressions, and the record is now expunged. No need for comment. Moving on to my question, which is, I have my non-Irish girlfriend staying with the family for Christmas this year, and we're putting together, she's got like a, you know, it's from LA. LA is a shit show right now with COVID. Couldn't do anything, and she'd be putting her like family at risk by going home, and she's got some at-risk family members. So doing the responsible thing and staying in magical Dublin for Christmas. What I want is some recommendations of how to immerse this person in Irish culture that they may have previously missed. For example, high up that list, movies like Intermission, The Commitments.
We might be like Ireland at Christmas.
No, not Ireland at Christmas, just a crash course in Irelandness while in the Christmas spirit. If there's some Christmas flavor to throw on top, I'm all about it. I might sprinkle on a few episodes of Reeling in the Ears, I ain't afraid to tell you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. How many days until Christmas? Like 11? Read Ulysses.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, that'll do. Yeah, these are the kind of hot takes I'm looking for. Gav, I know where your head's at. Stew on it. Get back to me.
Will do.
Absolutely. Lads, what do we think of the beer? Those of you who had the beer, Jackie, it was something slightly different, do you?
I had an old beer. It's nice. The Hop RDDH IPA. Yeah, I like it. Whatever you guys said, if it was positive, I'm with you.
This one, it didn't change too much from my first impression. It did kind of fade into the background a bit. So it was a decent background beer, definitely drinkable, but I mean, I'm nothing really interesting to it. There's no reason to go back to it. Yeah. Like if it's this or something you know is terrible, then you'll be fine with this. But that is the highest praise I can give it. It is a pretty uninteresting beer.
And I presume it's not cheap enough to where you'd be like, yeah, but it's, you know, you're still going to drink it.
Most likely, yeah. This would have been in the Craft Central 4 for 10 or 4 for 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's fine, but there's nothing to recommend it. Like, it's, and if anything, I think the hoppiness is a bit too strong, seeing as that's the only thing going on. So like, even like a macro, if anything, I slightly prefer a macro.
Yeah, you prefer if it was a bit blander, because then at least it would have that going for it. It would be like, yeah.
So like, I mean, it's a 5, but yeah.
Right, yeah. That's completely fair enough. I would have tended to agree with you at the start James. I think that this is a, for want of a better word, slightly subpar beer. However, we are big fans on this show of rating the experience and not rating the beer. And I came into this with a fury that could topple an empire. And I have left with a warm glow. The joy of friendship is what I'm reviewing here. It's that's probably six. No, it's it's the beer is fine. The beer is a nice background beer. Fade into the distance. I think that I had an absolutely brilliant chat with you guys and was delighted that you are my friends. So I am going to give this an 8.5, and I've given myself some tricky maths to do. 8.5 is 6.75.
Something like that. That also, so yeah, it's a 6.1% beer, so that can contribute to good times, I suppose, but I mean, yeah, okay, off just the two votes, that's got to be up there for the most controversial beer we've had on the show.
It does, yeah.
There's a vote spread. I mean,
an 8.5 and a five. Wow.
Remember we had that bone density IPA? That was pretty controversial.
besides the great time that I had, it did really grow on me, and I got a bit more of the kind of fruitiness, and like the initial bitter hoppy thing faded a bit, so I think that like it is a bit of a grower, but
what it showed was not impressive.
Well, look, at honorable men can disagree, and I'm sure you two also could disagree. I'm not going to investigate too much. I think you'll all join me in saying thank you. You're not so bad yourself. We're glad to talk to you through your incandescent fury. But we might suggest if you had empire toppling fury, it might have been a good idea to hold on to it for when we had an empire that needed to be toppled.
Fuck, damn it.
That would have been handy.
I get clamped again, guys.
Yeah. It's never the same. Time around, but what are you going to do? To conclude, then, there is only one thing to cheers to, and I believe it is to the fuckfest that is the Olympics, and specifically the horse dancers.
The horse dancers.
The Final Countdown was brought to you by James Belfast, Jack Toner, Gavin Carberry, and Nanus Cronin. Find us on social media at FAL Countdown, or contact us directly on finalcountdown@gmail.com.